You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Adam. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight on LA Talk Radio Empowered Communication Radio Show. My name is Sue Wagner. I'm Dr. Pat Allen's daughter, and I'm the director of the Dr. Pat Allen One Institute. Tonight, we have myself and Andy Shaw to answer your relationship questions. The call-in number for the show will be 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. Before we start the show, I want to tell you a little bit about our sponsor, the WAN Institute. The WAN Institute will currently provides facilitators that will educate you with techniques for how to begin, build, and maintain lasting, loving relationships. The facilitators will introduce you to basic communication skills using the techniques of WANT training as developed by Dr. Pat Allen. The WAN Institute offers instructions on the principles of communication with personal integrity to help individuals to achieve goals as well as enrich their personal and professional relationships and to create win-win situations in every one of their day-to-day activities. The Institute was founded to promote and teach these skills and the goal of helping people to live authentic, successful lives using the techniques of WANT training as developed by Dr. Pat Allen. If you want more information regarding our services, you can reach me at 949-723-0338, or you can send me an email to info@drpatallen.com, and I can give you all the information. Currently, I offer monthly ladies groups in which I help ladies with online dating, communication, staying in their feminine, how to work on their trauma triggers. I work with five ladies in each group. I have different times available, and they're $40 a month. We meet once a month. If I do have some openings coming up, I start a new group in August. So if you're interested, please feel free to give me a call or an email, and I'll give you all the information to be in my next ongoing ladies groups. And tonight we have Andy Shaw. He was a trained coach by Dr. Pat Allen. He was currently working to start a men's group. So hopefully we can get him to start a men's group to help the men with Dr. Pat Allen's material. Andy, are you available to say hi?
Hello, everybody.
Hi. Andy's been with me for about a month or two now on the radio show. He gives the male's perspective. Again, the call-in number for the show, and we'd love to get questions, or you can call us with testimonies, or just to drop in and say hi and tell us what Dr. Allen did to help fulfill your life and make it better. The call-in number is 323-203-0815. Do you have anything you want to say to the audience, Andy?
Please call. Let us talk to you.
we're going to start at the last Thursday of every month, the last 20 minutes, we're going to play a recording of Dr. Pat Allen's WANT training. So basically, the last Thursday of every month, we're going to incorporate some of her tapes and material for educational purposes. This recording, it does come with a chart. If you want a chart, you can always email me at the office. There is also a video of her chemistry, compatibility, and communication on our website, drpatallen.com. There's a link that says free tab, free access, and it's her teaching her chemistry, compatibility, and communication. And that's a very valuable video to watch. I recommend that to everybody. What do you get out of that, Andy? Remember, you were one of the students in the class at that time.
Oh, I just got the basics out of it. I mean, it's a great tool. It's a great learning thing, just to give some people access to something that they can see as well as hear.
That's a good point. Yes. Rather than just listening to audio, it is a video, so you do get to see her teaching. She has demonstration, and she does have a couple get up there and demonstrates the relationship contract item sheet, which is important if you're moving in or getting married. That's a must for everybody to watch. So with that, we will be cutting off at 4:30 for the recording, but we do want you to call in. We want you to call in with your questions, 323-203-0815. We have a caller on. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for us? Hello, you're on.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay, great. I went on a date with the guy, and I believed I made a mistake by revealing too much personal information about me.
Okay, and what information can you share that you revealed that was too much?
He asked me what was bad about me, and I told him that I have hearing loss and that I have herpes and I don't have casual sex.
Uh-huh.
On the second date. That was on the second date.
Okay. And are you still seeing him?
I have not heard from him, and he accidentally texted me about 2 weeks ago, and I haven't heard from him since.
Okay. And what do you want to keep dating this man?
Well, I'm not reaching out to him, so okay. Yes, that would be nice, but I don't think he wants to date me anymore.
Okay, and what kind of questions did he tell? Okay, since he asked you about you, all the bad things, what did he tell you about him? Did he reveal anything about himself?
Yes, he, this was our second date, and he told me that he, had gangbangs and was in threesomes, and it made me feel uncomfortable, and I asked him what he wanted, and he says to fall in love, and so, yeah.
Okay. After your second date, did he make plans for the third date, or how did that second date end after you revealed all this personal information?
He said he was going to do some research.
Okay.
And he... After the second date, I never heard from him until 6 days later, which was an accidental text.
Okay. And I'm going to have Andy help with this. What was the accidental text? Can you read it to us?
Basically saying it was for somebody else. Basically saying, no problem. Take your time. Get your rest. And okay. I said, I think this was for the wrong person.
And even at that time, he didn't ask to get together again.
No, he did not.
Okay. Andy, do you want to share with her why this guy may not be, why he may not be reaching out, or what's your opinion on this scenario?
Well, I think you're right. You shared too much too soon. Nobody needs to know you have an STI until they want to get in. Did he want to get in like that night?
No, he did not. No, we made out, but it wasn't, he wasn't asking for sex.
Okay. Have you ever done a relationship contract?
What do you mean by, I don't know what you mean by a relationship contract.
Well, the relationship contract addresses four areas: time, space, money, and play. And play is sexual, non-sexual. And the reason I bring this up is that because of the nature of the STI, I think it'd be valuable to you to figure out when to bring that topic up again. Like, you know, what's the trigger point, right? So when somebody wants to get into your body, then that'd be a good time to bring it up. But okay. If
even
next time
he asked what was bad about me, you know, Pat Allen's always told me when a man asks me a question, I answer it.
Well,
but we also get the veto right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also health issues that he doesn't have a need to know right now. So there is a line between... You can say I have other bad stuff, but, you know, you can – I'll tell you one more thing on the third date or something. So,
right.
You know, as we get to know each other, because I'm not going to dump my entire life with you on the second date. So that's where I think the boundaries come in. is to figure out where your lines are in the sand of when am I going to reveal this? When am I going to reveal that? You know, what point of relationship need to know that stuff?
Right.
You sound like you had a question.
Well, you know, I think that was, it's my own insecurity because I've been dumped for it before. So I just wanted to, there was also a part of me because he asked me what was sad about me, just wanted to get out so I could find out sooner rather than later whether or not he was going to accept it. So.
Yeah, I mean, I've never personally done the research on it. Now I'm kind of curious of if I was dating somebody who had that, what would be the precautions I need to take? So have you had those conversations in the past?
I did have that conversation with him. But, you know, I haven't heard from him. And my sense is the fact that I haven't heard from him is that's my answer.
No, what I mean is you said you've had this thing, and then is there any follow-on conversation too? And here's how to prevent things. Here's any precautions that we need to take. You know, it's kind of scary without going, okay, here's some safety nets that we can use.
Well, we have that conversation. We did.
Oh, okay. I was under the impression that kind of ended after you told him.
No, we sat in the car for an hour talking, and then he actually did kiss me after the conversation and offered to walk me to the door, but I told him it was okay.
Yeah, I mean, as a guy, there's very little I can do for another human being. And when you take away what little we can do, we fear you're going to take away more of our masculine, excuse me for just a second. We fear you're going to take away more of our masculinity later. So, I mean, unless you felt unsafe, I would have let the guy walk you to your door. There's no harm in it unless you think there is. You know, let us do what little we can do for you. And that gives us hope that we can do more for you later.
I felt very insecure after I gave him all this information. And I just went, I felt I was going to be dumped and I didn't want to prolong it any longer.
Have you ever read the book Outwitting the Devil?
No.
Highly recommend you do. The devil, interestingly, talks about when we have fears, we focus on them, and our prayers are answered in that manner. And having faith that things will work out, our prayers are answered in that manner. And I really believe that if you, I'm not just saying you, like me as a human being, carry around a negative or just a negative mindset, that's what you're going to get. Have you heard the story of there's a group of people, they're trying to get, you know, look for a new city, and they stop by this old guy and they say, you know, how's the people in this new city? And the old guy says, well, what were the people like where you came from? Oh, they were nasty, they were mean, they were, you know, inhospitable. And the old guy says, you know, I think you're going to find a lot of it the same here. I suggest you move on. And so they do. A little while later, a new group comes in, says, you know, sir, we're looking to move in this town. Can you tell us about the town? And the guy, old man, would say, well, what was it like where you came from? And they said, oh, they're very nice, very hospitable. You know, we were close and bonded and had parties together. And the old man says, I think you'll find a lot of it here. Enjoy your new town. So what you sow is what you reap. Mm-hmm. And I would urge you to have faith, even when it doesn't seem like there's any faith to be had, because that's when it's the most important to have it.
Yeah, I really appreciate you saying that. Mm-hmm.
So going forward, go ahead. What were we going to say?
Well, that's just, it's a big fear of mine that I'm going to get dumped because I have it. Yeah.
Well, you know, I have 19 scars on my body. I've had 15 surgeries. We all have fears. I knew a girl who had a single scar on a little pinky that drove her nuts. And she thought that was like the end of anything. So you can succeed with 19 scars in your body. You can succeed with sexually, you know, diseases. You can succeed with AIDS. You can succeed having anything you have. There's a lid for every pot. But you don't find the lid unless you're willing to shop around.
Right.
I also, it's what you think about comes about. If you're in fear that you're going to get dumped, that more of that's going to come your way. That's what Andy's talking about. What you perceive, yeah. The energy you're sending out is what you'll get back.
You're right.
I think you automatically said you knew he would dump, so you shared too much information, pushing him away before you had time to get to know him because you wanted it sooner than later.
Well, I felt because he asked me what was bad about me, that was here. I would never have told him that information if he hadn't asked me that question. So I didn't volunteer the information he asked me.
The bad stuff is always going to come out because it has to come out because we need to protect ourselves. So no matter where you are down that road, it's going to come out. How you think about the relationship is entirely up to you, though.
Right.
So my focus is on how you interpret the rest of the world. And if you interpret the rest of the world as positive, I think you'll get more positive in your life.
Exactly. Yes.
If you think that the relationship is going to end, well then, you know, as say you and I are dating and you're thinking, or starting a date, and you're thinking it's going to end, I'm like, well, she has no faith in us.
Right.
Like how do we move on? How do we move forward if you don't have faith that we can move forward?
Right.
So your next step in life, whether, you know, when you walk to the kitchen, walk to the bathroom, every step you take is not the faith that you're going to get there.
Right.
It's the same thing with relationships. It's not the faith that you're going to get there.
Right.
So have some faith. Just practice. Fake it till you make it.
I blew it with this one.
So what? It happens.
You learn the lesson what not to do next time. That's the beauty of it. Every lesson you learn, you know what not to do the next time.
Yeah, so there's that in the outward of the devil, right? Like I can feel in the call your hopelessness. And I recommend, like I said, the outward of the devil because the devil really wants you to fail. Most people, not one in 10,000 people, will try something four times after they failed three times. Mm-hmm. So I want you to do it 4, 5, 6. When you feel uncomfortable is the time when you most need to do it. It is the most critical to your self-interest and your self-growth is when you feel uncomfortable. So okay. Just as sharing my own story, right? I did a degree in entrepreneurship and it scared the crap out of me. And part of what I took 8 classes. I needed 5. I had a 90 second speech I had to give to 800 people. Never did that before in my life. It took me 26 times to get that speech remotely accurate. It was about 95%. I could have done some more. But it was important enough to me that I wanted to at least complete that to know what the next hill was to climb. So you're going to, you know, I also go to like a seminars that are 8 hours long and I get 30 seconds of gold. But I don't get that 30 seconds of gold unless I'm willing to spend the 8 hours. And there's another book called 3 Feet from Gold. It's written by the author who narrates Outwitting the Devil. And that's a really good book too. So read some self-help books. Fake it. Nobody knows the difference on the outside.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you,
Mass.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Call us back. Yeah. That was a good question. What would you say about it? Just because the guy asked you questions, does that mean, you know, would you give full disclosure after date two on all of the bad stuff? I personally don't think that was very nice of him to even ask that, in my opinion.
Well, you know, he has a right to do it.
Yeah, he has a right to ask it, but I would just say you could find out later after we get to know each other, you could find my faults.
Yeah, I mean, but y'all could say, give me one thing. You know, how open are you? How willing are you to be vulnerable?
Yes, that's true.
So I give her credit for opening kimono and telling them what's what.
Yeah.
And then next time, just give some peeks of some sleeves and whatnot. And,
uh-huh.
You know, and as we get more into this, I'll give you more.
That's true, too.
So there's two trains of thought.
That is. So, again, callers, if you're out there, the number is 323-203-0815. We had a great caller there. Gosh, what other question was I going to ask you? Do you have any questions you want to talk about, Andy, while I'm digging up a question?
You mentioned trauma earlier. Can you talk?
Okay. I scroll the Instagram and yeah, they're really popping up about the mother father wounds. And I have a couple of my ladies and Dr. Pat talks about this, when a girl has an absent or avoidant father, she generally marries or goes after a man and hopefully tries to form him into the father she never had. But with that forming him, she gets a lot of resentment. And usually the man that she picks is with her because he's got the issues of his mom not being the mom he wanted. So she's mothering him to change, and he's trying to heal the wound from his mother. So the two of them are basically surrogating parents for the absent ones they had growing up. And even if they left that relationship, they're more pronounced to go find it again because the trauma of their childhood affects your relationships. And most of my women, and Dr. Pat talks about it when she says, women, when you go out with men, the instant chemistry is not your best pick. That's generally from what you're familiar with, a little bit like mom, a little bit by dad. But you can, and she always says, go with the nice guy that can give you what you want, that you're probably more compatible with, but you don't have chemistry. She says, go out with them till it becomes familiar. You have to desensitize and go out with the nice, secure guys. But they never want to do that, Andy, never. No matter what, I tell them. They want to go with the instant chemistry and red flags because that's familiar.
And it's easy.
It's easy. It keeps them in that trauma cycle of the unfulfilled wounds of daddy. So they just keep picking another daddy model, trying to mold him into the dad they didn't get. And those men are usually have the mother issue that pick her, and then they end up torturing each other.
Goodness gracious.
Another one, I had a lady she's with her husband, and she found out this was it. Her husband's smoking pot, and you know, he says that she nags him too much. So they're getting a divorce, and she wanted a last quick fix. And I said, is he willing to go to counseling? And she said, no. And I said, I don't know if there's any other quick fix to do. What would your, if the last ditch, if a couple, and he's already checked out, but she wants to keep the marriage. And I asked her, why would you want to keep a marriage when he's checked out? And she said, because it's embarrassing that she failed. And, you know, she's been together so long and she doesn't want to start over again.
Oh, it's her right to do it, right?
Yes. But if she could have one last ditch to get him back, is there any magic wand or method you know of?
No. I for me, at least, when I've checked out, there's, you know, there is one way that comes to me. Because I've got some friends right now that I feel used from, right? And there's no way that keeping things as a status quo that I would go back to do what I was doing. What I would come back to is somebody who appreciates, shows it, cares about me, uh-huh, asks about me, says hello. It's the little things.
Yeah.
Like these people, it's my ex. I obviously have kept in touch with for a while, and her daughter. I told them I wasn't going to pay for them anymore, and they've not said like word one to me.
Oh, really? Oh.
If they had said hello, how you doing? You know, I don't care about the money, just care about you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have this issue. I'd go back to paying for it because I knew it was appreciated.
Yes, that's a good point. It's a little that's a good point.
I mean, maybe she has taken advantage of it and he's had enough. I don't know the story.
They're older, you know, they've raised their kids and, I said, and they're both going to counselors by themselves. And I said, well, if he's going to a counselor, he's obviously working with the counselor, and the counselor, I'm sure, is trying to work it to best to get you guys together. And if that's not working, I don't know where I could do any help, because he doesn't want to go to couples therapy. So you have to really have two people that are involved. Not one-sided keeping a marriage together.
Well, I wonder, I just had a thought that I wonder if she asked, hey, could I go to counseling with you? I just want to help you.
I think she has, and he said no, the counselor's working on his issues. So, and she's gone to her counselor who is trying to help her to move on. That's from what they said. I said, well, it sounds like the counselors are doing the best they can for what you guys are requesting from them.
Yeah. I mean, without more to that story, it's really hard to.
From what she said, they've been doing it a while. And I said, when one person's checked out, you know, you can't beg him to come back.
No, there's very little to do unless you become a new person yourself. You've checked out with the person they are, not with the person they could become.
Yes.
So I think the best thing that she can do is work on herself and not ask him to change, but change herself, which we know is very, very hard.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, I wish. Anyway, it's getting close. As we said before, if you're just listening in, the last Thursday of the month at the end of the recording, the last 20 minutes, we're going to play an audio of Dr. Pat Allen's Want Training. We'll just progress through the series. So with this, I'm going to have the radio station take over, and they'll play the recording of Want Training for Effective Living. It does come with the chart. And if you want the chart to listen to the archives, just email me at info@drpatallen.com. So, Sam, if you're there, if you want to put the audio on, we'll cut the show off.
Thank you. Should be coming up momentarily.
Yeah, I listened to it earlier. It was on. It was nice.
I see the word, but I don't hear anything.
Oh, maybe because we're still on.
I don't know. We're new at this.
oh, I guess it went off. Oh.
Welcome to Dr. Pat Allen's WAN Training for Effective Living. I'm Jim Hallows, the Associate Director of the WAN Institute. Included in this program is Dr. Pat Allen's WAN Training in Androgynous Semantic Realignment, or ASR, the patented communication system for driving yourself sane. What you will learn is not the usual list of shoulds or should nots, but rather practical techniques to redirect and restructure negative habit patterns through positive choice. Changing the words you use ultimately changes your behavior. A renowned psychotherapist, teacher, and lecturer, Dr. Pat Allen's work, wit, and wisdom is based on her years as a cognitive behavioral therapist, mother of four, and her own personal growth. And now we present to you Dr. Pat Allen.
When I started becoming a therapist way back when, I was a transactional analyst. I studied in the work of Eric Byrne, and I liked it a lot because it was cognitive, and I had become impressed with cognitive therapy because of its cleansing effect on the human mind. And I have a premise that says that if your mind thinks clearly and you speak clearly, that you will be able to handle whatever mental and emotional problems you have. So as time went by, as I was doing my 3,000 hours of internship, I gradually studied more and more about communication and came up with the system that eventually became my doctoral work, which was semantic realignment or WANT training. And in that particular process, one of the first systems that I teach is how to make a decision rationally, which is on page one of your syllabus. And if you will turn to it now, we'll look at it and talk about what it means. You can see the PAC, parent, adult, child circles. Some of you will be familiar with that. Some of you may be aware of systems enough to know that the emotional and rational, Albert Ellis, influenced me significantly there. Sigmund Freud and his superego, ego, id systems also influenced me. And Marshall McLuhan and messages in the media. So putting together all of these synthesized ideas, I came up with what I designed as the WANT chart. I eventually, in 1974, went to a patent attorney and had the system patented, and it now has a service mark, which is the little R after the word WANT. I have a patent word, which is called WANT in the United States of America. So I can use it probably with more authority than many other people, and I'm going to teach you how to use it with authority, also with its companion, not WANT. So we have the parent circle, the adult circle, and the child circle. If you're thinking in psychodynamic terms, the parent ego state, as Eric Byrne would talk about it, is somewhat similar to the superego system of Sigmund Freud. The adult is the ego, and the child is the id. So if you think of the kid and the id, or as Freud said, a seething cauldron of libidinal urges. Going from that point on, you'll see the rational and the emotional. I want to take you through the rational first so that you know what our ideal is. Many of us reach that point, at least I think I read 10 minutes a year or a lifetime. And I want to see if we can raise it to higher percentage of your time. At the parent level, you'll see the nurturing parent. The nurturing parent is the negotiable parent. It's the parent that does tell you externally and internally, because eventually little children record everything they learn internally. I always like to talk about little children as being, especially babies, being little people with whole sets of blank tapes waiting to record. Dr. Penfield did some brain research and said that the human neurological system records all experiences from the time that it's capable of recording, and that's approximately 6 months of gestation. So from the time you're 6 months in existence, you're recording data, the goods, the bads, the positives, the negatives. So what's going on inside of your mother often has to do with what's going on inside of her head. There's a neat book by Verney called The Hidden Life of the Unborn Child, which talks to the point of the issues that little babies face even before they're born. And we're finding more and more and more influence that the external is having on the unborn child. And communication is one of those. They've done some research in Japan, for example, that has managed to show, at least to their satisfaction, that in communicating to the unborn child, that there have been some evidence points that the child will be born with a predisposition, say for mathematics or music or the creative. So moving from that point, the nurturing parent is a parent that says you should not, because you will be better. It's a child-centered system. It is not a parent power system. Now, that nurturing system will talk to the fun-free child. The fun-free child is a person who, at least under the age of 3 years old, seems to be a very pivotal point in a child's life where it decides whether love is trustworthy or not trustworthy. The first year of life, you're learning to be able to say, I want, to be able to pull the parent to you. I want my bottle. I want love. I want attention. I want. And that Freud calls the oral stage of development. If the child can pull what it wants, it feels secure, ontologically secure. It has its credit card to the human race. If it doesn't feel ontologically secure, then it has a tendency to believe it has a temporary card, a probationary card. And this is where we find people later on not feeling secure in asking for what they want. Those people who manage to make it through their wants in their first year go on to their terrible twos. The terrible twos are really dealing with the external authority system, the ability to say, I don't want. In a family where no is a bad word, a child will often be forced into a state of repression. Repression is a system of pushing material down. It's recorded, but pushing it down so that it cannot be brought up consciously. Suppression is the person pushes the material down themselves, but they can bring it up more easily. So with repression, it's I do not have the right to say no. I do not have the right to say I do not want. So what I will do is I will lock that anger inside of my body, and then it will show up. Usually by the age of 35, there's four kinds of anger that get repressed. One is frustration. That's the first year anger. I want, I can't get, why can't I get? The second kind of anger is parental anger. Parental anger being the critical or the super parent. It's, you didn't do it right, and I'm mad at you. So it's going from the kid up to the head and judging. The third kind of anger is the one that kills people, or people use to kill themselves. Defiant anger. Defiant anger is the spiritual disease of unteachability, when you're no longer available to communicate. So we find, for example, people who drink or eat or use drugs, people who go insane, have gone into a state of defiant anger, and they will no longer listen to any communication, positively from the inside or externally from the outside. The fourth kind of anger is the one that I hope that I'm approaching when I teach you, and that's indignant anger. Indignant anger is, I want to be better, I'm going to be better, and whatever it takes, including semantic realignment or want training, I'm going to learn it, I'm going to do it, and it will work for me. So the fun-free kid or the fun-free child or the fun-free id, whichever you want to call it, is the part of us that is the 1 to 3 year old child. We basically have only three lessons to learn: how to ask for what we want, how to say no to what we don't want, and hopefully how to negotiate with the other person so we can hear what they want and what they don't want. And that's the whole process of want training or semantic realignment. Now, when you look at the chart, if you look at the circles, you will notice that the circles overlap, and you'll notice that there are some arrows, almost like paperclip kinds of designs inside the circles. The overlapping between the parent and the adult is called your prejudices. If you're highly prejudiced, then your computer, which is your adult, is highly contaminated. so that you're not really thinking for yourself. You're thinking based on those tapes that have been programmed in. If you're contaminated between your child and your adult, you live in the world of illusion or delusion. You're in a fantasy world. And we often think of that more in the line of insanity, where people are no longer able to live in the real world. If your parent, adult, and child are pushed together in a highly contaminated way, you basically have very little ego. You have very little individuation. I like the work of Carl Jung very much, and he talks about that the whole process of living is to individuate, to get your parent, your adult, and your child separate enough. You can never get them totally separate because we all have prejudices. Everybody doesn't like something sometime based on whether it's Brussels sprouts or people in polyester or whatever. So we all have prejudices and we all have illusions. Santa Claus is coming. Someday the white knight is coming. Someday I will be 5'8" and beautiful. We all have these kinds of fantasies. So the secret of living a well-lived life is to individuate enough so that your prejudices and your delusions do not contaminate your adult. Your adult basically is your computer bank. It's all of the data that you record, and it's your ego. It's what basically demonstrates who you are. When you put it all together, we say that you're cathecting all of your ego states. All of them are showing. It's like you're using all the parts of your psyche, your personality. If you lock into one or the other, we all know the person that's locked into parent. Now, those are the people that live emotional lives. We all know people that lock into their child. We call those insane people. And we know people that lock into their adult, their computers. There's nobody home. There are very little feelings. If you look at the emotional side of the want chart, you will notice that at the top, you will see the critical parent and the super parent. The critical parent, we know, it's usually the person with the index finger pointed at you and three pointed back at themselves. They're the people that say they resent you because you're not doing it right. And they're not getting their needs met when you don't do it right. And if you would but do it right, their life would work. The critical parent is the intimidator parent, as opposed to the negotiating, nurturing parent. The super parent is the seducer. The super parent is the one that says, I say that the laws don't apply, that I can get away with this, that I can give you things, and then later I'll send you a bill, and you'll pay it, because you owe me. I often say that the mating call of the super parent is, after all I've done for you, you owe me. They're very good about lending money, especially if they're parents to children, because children have a tendency to want to borrow money from parents. Parents give it, and then parents say, now that I've given you the money, marry this one, not that one. Go to this school, not that school. Wear this and don't wear that. The critical super parent speak in the following way. You should not consider or think. You should not even think about what you want and what you don't want, because I say so. If you look at the nurturing parent is child-centered. The critical parent is parent-centered. The nurturing parent tells you to look at the prices and the prizes for your behavior. What will it cost you if you do what you should do? What will it cost you if you do not do what you should do? So there are options. There are choices. And there is the right to think. So the nurturing parent is willing to let the little child under three create, go with the pots and pans, and do the creative kinds of things that little children must do. The nurturing parent is not afraid of mistakes. It's in support of creativity. The critical parent and the super parent are usually broken little kids who have jumped up into their head in order to run their world, because the little kid inside of them doesn't know how to get what it wants, doesn't know how to get rid of what it doesn't want. So if you'll notice on the chart, there's a blank space where prices and prizes go. In those spaces, you write all of the words that the critical parent and the super parent say. Some of them say, the critical parent says, dummy, bad, evil, wrong. The super parent says, you owe me after all I've done for you. See? So whatever intimidating or seductive words the child needs to hear in order to keep the game going, because that's what it is. It's a game. It's called I Want to Live and These Are the Rules. And he with the gold makes the rules. So the parent has the gold when the child is little. If you look down, you'll see that in the child position at the bottom of the want chart, you see the adapted child. The adapted child is the one that a little adaption goes a long way. A lot of adaption goes the wrong way. When a child is raised in a nurturing home, it will need to adapt very minimally. It will need to give up very little in the way of its individual process. It will be encouraged to go after what it wants and to say no to what it doesn't want. But if that child is bombarded by the critical parent or the super parent that says, I'll do it for you so you stay helpless, the enabling parent, that child will deteriorate. If you think of this as a pendulum, the adapted child is at the bottom of the stroke. The adapted child lives in a world of fear and anxiety. It's usually afraid to be itself. It's guilty for being itself. It's angry in a state of usually frustration. And it's usually very sad, depending on whether it's in its one-year-old or two-year-old state. At one, or at the developmental stage of one, you could be 85 and still be one. You're very sad. These are the people who have a tendency to have problems with suicide, with self-destructiveness, with eating, with drinking, with drugs. They're very sad little kids that cannot figure out how to negotiate for what they want, what they don't want. If you've reached the level of two, you're mad. You now know how to get what you want, but you don't know how to get rid of what you don't want. So you don't know how to push away authority figures. So you say yes when you mean no. And you sometimes say no when you'd like to say yes. The whole game is to be able to power play. So the two-year-old mad kid may also be 65 years old and still not resolve that. But the sad kid and the mad kid are really quite guilty and quite afraid. They're afraid to negotiate. If things go really badly, you will deteriorate into a state of absolute self-destruction, either with physical symptoms or without. And this is what we think of as the demon child. The demon child says, I must destroy your flesh or my flesh by child abuse, sadomasochistic behavior, wife beating. It can be alcoholism if it's self-destructive, overeating, drug abuse, accident prone, illness prone, because I'm cursed. Now, where's that curse coming from? The curse is that set of tapes that have been logged in, usually by the age of five, definitely set up by the age of three. So what we're really dealing with here is regression material. We're going to go back and teach you how to make a decision rationally if you have been contaminated by critical or super parent tapes. If you're lucky enough not to have reached a game level three, you know, there's only really three levels of the games. Level one is an absolute saint. There aren't any level ones on this planet. Level two is a person who has no physical damage, but has a talk problem, cannot negotiate. Level three are the people whose games have resulted in tissue damage, whatever level of tissue damage. I will at a later time put all of this kind of psychosomatic material on tape, so that you might understand what I think about that system.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.